we are men. And men get impatient, and right, we act rashly sometimes, not waiting for the response of God. But in becoming the sons of God, you know, all these becoming the sons of God, you know, all these things work to our benefit. Whether, you know, I mean, whether they be our folly, it is for our good. Whether it be all these things work together for us. Whether it be folly, it is for our good. And whether it be foolish, you know, and when we are the sons of God, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For us, the things that we do, the mistakes we make, even in those, you know, waiting for God, it works for our good. And so he's saying, we were single of purpose and transparent towards the world, you know, in simplicity and godly sincerity, but even more towards you. In the sense of, because we opened ourselves up even more to you. I mean, the world only sees so much because we don't get close, or that close. How close can you get when you have my purpose is to preach the gospel. Well, I don't want to hear the gospel. Well, then we won't talk. You know. For we write, you know, and as I read that, you know what? To me, that is, that verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I mean, you know, some of the things that are out there to try to lure people in to a faith in Christ, it makes me want to puke. Because it's not transparent. It is a hidden, veiled attempt to try to suck people in with world, the things they're so lust after in the world. You know, oh, come to our church. We're going to have a lot of food there. We're going to play games. We're going to have fun. And you don't know that we're going to preach the gospel to you. And not that there's anything wrong with preaching the gospel, but there's a sort of, you know, that's not what I would consider to be simplicity. It's like, well, they wouldn't come and listen if we didn't tell them we had food and games. Well, then maybe it isn't God's will. Maybe he would open up a door of utterance for us if he wanted us to bring them in. I mean, if you want to play games and have food, that's fine. But sometimes it's really just a very thinly veiled way of trying to suck people in. And not that it is, I understand they mean well, but that's not simplicity and godly sincerity. It really isn't. You know, and so I guess I definitely shy away from those kind of tactics. I don't try to, you know, I just don't think that that is the way we ought to conduct ourselves. And you know why? Because people see right through it, and they see it, and when people do that, they look at Christianity, they say, what a, these people are a bunch of hypocrites or fakes or whatever. You know, you get some guy, some middle-aged guy with a paunchy stomach and a sideways baseball cap and sunglasses on. Yo, yo, what's up, bro? And it's just really, really stupid. We don't need that. You know, I'm cool just like you. Because I want you to hear the word of gospel, yo. I mean, I just, One, you just make it a joke. And two, it's not how we ought to be. Let's be different. Why do we have to be like the world? I mean, I know, I became all things to all men, that I might win all men. Yeah, but it doesn't mean I put on a fake act. You know, I think Paul, well, and when we get to that, we will, you know, what it means is there's always, everything that is done on that behalf is done with proper judgment and proper discernment. And some things, when you look at it, you know, it's like this isn't being taken seriously. This is not bringing glory to God. People are just going to laugh. Well, if they laugh at the gospel, then we're being persecuted. Yeah, but you're not being persecuted for the gospel's sake. You're being persecuted for your pathetic attempt to try to be cool in order to lure people into the gospel. That's why they're laughing at you, because you're pathetic. They're not laughing at you because of God. Verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. I think he's reaffirming their bonds of kinship, not fleshly kinship, but, you know, in the gospel. For we write none other things to you than that what we read or acknowledge. Meaning, I think that's a very simple couple verses where he is acknowledging, saying, you know, we don't write to you other than that which we've read or acknowledge, having known of you, I suppose. Because there were letters exchanged from the Corinthians to Paul and Paul to the Corinthians. And so, you know, we are your rejoicing, even as you are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. It's sort of reaffirming those bonds of fellowship, I believe. I can't make much more of it than that. Because I guess I get thrown up with the acknowledge, because I'm thinking, well, what acknowledge in what sense? Acknowledge their calling, you know. I'll just leave it at that. Verse 15, and this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and to be brought on my way toward Judea. So I'm hoping to pass by you, Corinth, into Macedonia, and then go back out of Macedonia and pass by you, right?